Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple, the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And they asked alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the great, and the glory of your host. God, minister to us today. Use me as an oracle of your blessings, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, Hey, I'm beautiful. I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Now, the other night in preaching, I got off on this, and as I was thinking about it, the Lord began to press on me a little more to talk about this and to get it and use it for a subject matter. So I want to talk to you this morning, and I'm going to use the subject, Stuck at the Gate. Stuck at the Gate. Now, he came to this gate every day of his life, but he couldn't get any closer. He was at the gate they call Beautiful, which is known as the Eastern Gate. Now, those of you that's not familiar with the old temple, this gate was made out of brass overlaid with gold. And when the morning sun would hit it, it would literally shine from miles away up on that hill where everybody could see it. Amen. Now, those of you that don't know about the Eastern Gate, that's also the gate where most everybody entered into the temple. Amen. And we know that when Jesus Christ comes back, he will enter into Jerusalem by way of the Eastern Gate. Amen. And you know, just to try to make things bad, the Muslims say they don't believe in Jesus. Why'd they brick that gate up? They thought they'd brick it up, he couldn't get in. They don't realize they tried to lock him in a tomb. He threw the stone out of the way, went on about his business. And there's coming a time when he's going to step down on the Mount of Olives and stroll up to that Eastern Gate, and he's going to go, and the wall's going to cave in. He's going to go right on into the old city, amen, and establish his kingdom. Come on, church, smile at me, amen. I don't believe it's going to be long. But now, church, this man goes down there. His desire is to be inside with the people to worship, but he's got a problem. He's been lame from the day he was born. He's never taken a step. He was toted everywhere he's ever gone. He's never been able to walk. He's never been able to try to find out what it's like to hold his balance. His condition keeps him from getting where he wants to go. Amen. Because you see, by law, he could not go into the temple and him lame. Hello? You say, what are you getting at? That was a Jewish law. All of a sudden, he's out there one day. Now, church, we have people feel sorry for him. I pointed this out the other night, and I was speaking about him. He had friends because somebody took him to that gate every day and set him down, and somebody picked him up and took him home every night. He had somebody that looked after him to that point. He could not work, so he took a job. His job was to sit at that gate and beg alms. And somebody said, well, that's not much of a job. It's one if you do it every day. And he was being honest. That's the only way he had to make money. And so he became a blessing of God. Somebody said, what are you talking about? Well, he was sitting there in need. And because he had need, everybody came by, had enough sense to bless him, got blessed of God. Hello? Nod your head. That's good preaching. Amen. Some of y'all miss it because you get the opportunity to help somebody and you don't help them. Amen. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, my God, I'm as bad off as he is. I said, really? Have you really took a long look at where they are? Amen. Now, church, I understand if you're going through a bad time, but I guarantee you look around, you can always find somebody a whole lot worse off than you are that you could help if you wanted to. Amen. I used to tell folks when I was an evangelist, I used to love it when folks would shake my hand and stick a 50 or 100 in there. Boy, I just, oh, man, it just, chill bumps go over you. It's like, yes, God, you listening. You know what it's all about. But you know what's even better? When instead of being the slippy, you're the slipper. Hello? When you walk up, somebody shake the hand, say, God just want me to give you this because I'm blessed enough I can hand something to somebody else. Come on, church. Amen. Y'all said, oh, he's off on giving again. If y'all get quiet, I'll just keep preaching on this and forget about the dude at the gate. Amen. I mean, seriously, I loved it when I was at my home church at Buell. Preacher get talking about money, everybody shout. didn't have none, but we loved to give it away. Amen. And we always had because we were willing to give to God. I remember one time I was at Northport working, and I was in the office with Brother Hall, and his son come in, and he said, "Dad, what you preaching on?" He told him, he said, "Oh, man." He said, "What?" He said, "Well, I'm sitting next to Brother so-and-so," and said, "I want you to preach on tithes, because when you do, he just wiggles all over the place." Glory. Amen. I'm not going to talk about the giving. I want to concentrate on the other part. But this guy's sitting there, amen, and he's at that place. He's wanting to get along with God. He's wanting to get in that place. He's sitting outside the gate, and just inside the gate's the outer court, and they're worshiping, praising God from the sun up to the sun down. There's choirs singing, and he can hear the choirs. He can hear the people shout, but he can't get in there where they are, and his desire is to get into the presence of the Lord. Can I tell you, church, we've got people that have come to church, and for things that are in their life, they can't get by the gate and get into that place where the presence of God is, that people can get blessed. But can I tell you that if you're really wanting to go, God will give you the very desires of your heart. He'll find a way to get you by that gate and get you where you need to be with him. Could you say amen? Glory. One day, God sends a couple of preachers along. He's sitting there, alms. He didn't know that's preachers. Hello. Most preachers are not slippers. They like to be slippies. Oh, I've been around them guys that's got money, and they act like it's a transgression of God for them to use it for anything else but them. Nod your head. I'm not knocking my brothers, but there are some. I took one guy with me one time to a camp meeting in another state. I paid his way, paid the room. He stayed in the room with me. He was pastor of church running 500-600 people. He finally, the day before we left, said, "I'm going to buy you lunch. Let's go over to Sonny's barbecue." We got over there. He said, "I got this thing. Buy one, get one free." He said, "Whatever I buy, you get one just like it. And I'm getting your lunch." And I'm like, give me a break. Lord. But you know, church, all of a sudden he comes walking up and he said, "Alms, have you got alms?" Now, notice Peter didn't look at him and say, "Look, dummy, we're broke. I sold my business. I used to be a fisherman. God called me to preach." You ever been around people that every time you talk to them about being in ministry, they tell you what they could have been if God hadn't called them? And it sounds like they'd rather be in what they could have been than what they are. Come on, church, not. We had a guy who used to come to Buell and preach. He was a great preacher. But that joker spent all the time talking about what all he could have done before he got saved. Finally, one night I said, "Why don't you go do that other stuff? Seemed like you want to do it more than be a preacher." He looked at me sort of funny and said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Look, I know I had a lot of things going in my life. I had a lot of things going good, a lot of things going bad." I said, "Really and truly, if you look back at my life, I've had some opportunities that I could have took. I've had some opportunities I just blew slap out of the water. But I said, the truth of the matter is, from the day I was born, God intended me to be who I am. And I said, right now, I found out who I was, and I got where I needed to be, and I don't want to be anything else." Amen. I want to tell you something, honey. I don't want to be anything but who I am, and I don't want to do anything but what I'm doing right now, because I know that I know that I know I'm in the will of God for my life. Could you say amen to that, church? Amen. And there ain't nothing like knowing you where you need to be doing what you need to do. Amen. Glory. Come on, church. Smile at me. That's good stuff. Amen. And all of a sudden he looked at me and said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but what I got, I'll give you a little." You can see that guy getting excited. He's thinking, well, man, he got some fried apple pies or something. I may not get money, but I'm going to get something. Glory. And hey, I didn't get alms last week. I got fried apple pies, but they was good. Notice how I said that. They were good. Somebody gives me fried apple pies. They ask me Monday how many I got left. They might well hang it up, because they're not going to make it past midnight Sunday night. Smile. I want us to take a look at what's going on here. Let's look at the man. He was born in the condition, and he's now about 40 years old. I mean, this man's like people sitting outside the gate of God's house trying to get in, and the circumstances are keeping them from getting there, because we're all born outside the realm of God. Somebody said, "Preacher, you're crazy." Listen to what David said in Psalms 51. He said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Amen. You know what that said? That says we're born to do wrong. You don't run around going, man, I finally got my kids to disobey me this week. It's natural for you to have to teach them right. They learn to do wrong on their own. Come on, church, smile. I've made this statement before, and I'll make it again. A baby will lie to you. They'll act like they're dying. You pick them up. They ain't being honest. There wasn't nothing wrong with them. When you pick them up, they'll train you. Some of you parents act like, I didn't do that to me. You didn't learn how to quit lying either, did you? I don't have a problem with you disciplining your children and keeping them in line, but your kids going to have you, to some extent, wound around you. Oh, y'all look at me like you crazy, preacher. Nah. I'm going to use the same thing, get God wound up so I can get stuff from him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to let him know who he is. Come on, church. Well, some of y'all said, hey, you don't do that to God. I guarantee you go to loving him, talking about how great he is. He ain't no different than any man in this place, because we were made in the image of the living God. You want to get something from somebody, you gripe and fuss at them. I don't know about some folks, but you gripe and fuss at me, my feet go in the mud, and I'm not going nowhere. The more you gripe, the less chance you're going to get anything done. The more you demand, the less chance it's ever going to happen. You start talking about, oh, you're a good preacher. Oh, you're a good daddy. Oh, you're a good husband. Oh, you shine like the sun in the morning when you get up. I mean, I'll start cutting wood. I don't know what I'm building, but I'm going to get after something, because it just turns me on for somebody to start bragging. I'm like, come on, church. Amen. Now, if I'm in the image of the living God, I want to motivate him. I'm like, you're a great God. You're an awesome God. I might even get like one writer said, you're a terrible God. Now, that church, that's in the King James. In the proper context, he said, you're an awesome God. Amen. He said, oh, God, you awesome. Man, you are greater than anything. Next thing you know, God said, what do you need? I'll make you a river in the dry ground. I'll cut you a place in the desert. I'll put a rock up for you to hide in, or whatever you need. I'm doing it because you're calling me great. Amen. And if we lift him up, come on, church. You say, preacher, you can't prove that. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men nigh unto me. Could you say amen to that, church? Hallelujah. Listen, we are born to do wrong. We have to learn to do right. We have to be taught to do that way. And many of us are outside the privileges of God because we've not allowed ourselves to move from where we are to where we ought to be. Hello? We got too many people today saying, well, what I need is a transformation. No, you need a complete, total redoing. I'm going to reform them. Reformation ain't real good, because folks that get reformed still have some problems. What you need is get transformed by the mercies of God. Hello? Come on, church. So what are you talking about? When you really get born again, old things pass away. All things become new. All of a sudden, you ain't who you used to be. You don't do the things you used to do. You don't have the desires you used to have. Why? Because you're walking with the presence of God. Amen. And the closer you get to him, the more you get like him, the less you want of what you used to be. Come on, church. That's amen stuff right there. I'm finna get on the front row and amen myself. I got some folks going, that's true. My Bible said, be not conformed, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. There are things I used to think was okay. I got in the Bible and found out they wasn't. Now I think differently from the way I used to think. You know what's wrong with some people in the world? It's they got stinking thinking. Hello? You got people that have to take nerve pills every time you turn around. Some of us, because they're thinking on the wrong stuff. It's in Scripture. I'm not showing you something I can't back up. The Bible said, think on these things, those things that are pure, those things that are honest, those things that are of good report, and he will keep your mind in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Amen. So we got people that's kind of like this guy. He's hung up at the gate. He can't get inside. He wants to go inside, but he can't get there. And because he's there, he represents people in our church who really want to walk with God. Come on, church. But they just can't seem to get past the gate. Amen. Listen, every one of us has got a little bit of Jacob in us. We want to be like God, but we want to hang on to Jacob. We like some things Jacob's got, but you got to let go of Jacob and become somebody else if you're going to get who God wants you to be. Amen. Jacob was a liar. He was a supplanter. He was a deceiver. He was all time conniving and scheming and coming up with plans. And then all of a sudden one night God changed his name to Israel. And next thing you know, he ain't scheming anymore. He ain't conniving. He's just following God. Next picture you see, he's leaning on his staff that represents the Spirit of God, waiting on trouble to come, going, my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all anything I could ever ask or think. Why? Because in that tent that night, more happened than just his leg got broke. That man got transformed by the power of God and became a man who believed that his God is able to do all things. You say, well, preacher, what did it do for him? He had a son that his brothers thought was too good to be true. So they sold him into slavery. He ended up in prison. But then he became the ruler of the country that had all the food, right time the famine got. And that old boy was smart enough to realize, ye meant it for evil, but the whole time God meant it for good. He said, why is that? Because my God made my dad a promise, and he saw that famine coming. And I went down to the pit, and then I got sold into slavery, then I ended up in prison, just so I'd be standing here in charge of all the food the world had, so I could feed my dad. And God put me in a strategic place to do it. Can I tell you, sometimes on your way down, it's because God's trying to take you up so that you can go on and do something. But if you'll sell out to God, God will move mountains to do what he said he'd do for you if you'll let him. Could you say amen? Glory. Let's look at the miracle that took place. Amen. The people saw this man every day at the gate of the temple when he walked by. Listen, Acts chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. And they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement that which had happened unto him. For as the lame man which had healed by was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto the end of the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. He said, man, Peter says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I got, I'm going to give to you. He, man, now, church, here's an act of faith. He didn't lay hands on and say, well, now, in a few months, you're going to be okay. Y'all ever had people pray for you and nothing happened? They try to talk you into it. I've seen these preachers knock people halfway across the room and say, well, that's God. And you get up with a headache and worse off than you was before they ever laid hands on you. And then they'll pray for you and try to talk you into something. I've had them pray for people get the Holy Ghost. They'll say, glory, 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 glory. They get saying, glory, 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 glory. They say, that's it, that's it, that's it. I got the Holy Ghost. We had one evangelist one night pray for my wife. She got shouting a little bit. He looked at her and said, sister, you got the Holy Ghost? She said, yeah, he came running me in the pastor. That sister's got the Holy Ghost. Me and him both busted out laughing. He said, what? Pastor said, that's Stroop's wife. She had the Holy Ghost. But he's going to count her. Church, if God does something, don't you figure you're going to be the first one to know what happened? Preacher ain't got to talk you into it. Come on, church. If he feels it and you don't feel it, what good is it? Now, I agree sometimes God does things and it don't happen right then. But let's face it, you're going to know something happened when it hits you, even if it all don't take place right then. Come on, church. Now, all this is good stuff. Peter didn't wait. He just took him by the hand and said, in the name of Jesus, get up! Snatched that joker into the air. You gotta feel what's going on in this man's head. He's airborne. He ain't never stood on his feet before. He ain't never been able to stand. His feet are gnarled up. He's airborne going, oh my! I got feet. And just notice something. He didn't have to go to rehab. He ain't never walked a step in his life, yet he starts leaping and running and dancing. I don't know about y'all, but people that ain't walked in their life shouldn't be running and dancing and leaping unless somebody got a hold to them and instilled in their brain a whole new way of functioning. Them feet's going. I mean, walk is bad enough. You start running and leaping and jumping and skipping, you better know you got to have some balance. But I want you to know something. He didn't run down the street and go tell somebody he got healed. The minute he got up, he cut the corner and went through that gate. He'd been trying to get in there the whole time. Now I got the chance. I guarantee you he probably went through the whole outer court just leaping and dancing and shouting. And the Bible said they saw him and they're going, oh my God, this is a dude's been at the gate. He's been there all my life. My mom and daddy said he was there when they was kids. And they're astounded by what's going on. Acts 3:12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man walk?" Peter said, "Look at me. All I did was grab his hand and lift him up. While he was airborne, them bones went to popping. God was moving." Glory. We had a gentleman at the Northport Church of God, and I got to hurry. I got farther to go before I quit tonight than any of y'all, so don't look at me. Brother Smith will be preaching tonight. I want you to come back and be in church with him, but I'm headed to Orlando just a little while after we leave here. I got to drive most of the night. We had a guy at Northport. His name was Jackson. First time I met him, me and the pastor went to see him. He peeled wallpaper on the wall talking to you. Retired Navy man. We went in and talked to him, and every other word had to be censored. I left thinking, "My God, I got to go get anointed and prayed for. I've been soiled." I mean, it's bad. He had crippling arthritis. I mean, this guy couldn't hardly move nothing but his lips, and he's still cussing everything that walked. So we go back to see him again. The pastor said, "Why we keep going to see this guy?" He said, "I believe God's going to lift him up. He's going to make a difference in our church." And I thought to myself, "Now, Earl Hall, I believe a lot of things you say, but you missed us, buddy. Do you know God saved that old man? Wasn't long, he got up in a wheelchair, and they brought him to church. And he'd be back there in the back of that church, and every once in a while you'd hear him yelling out. Oh, he wasn't cussing then. He was praising God. He'd get all mad and upset. He looked at me one day. I was back there praying. I said, "Brother Jack, what's wrong?" He said, "I want to shout like these other folks. They ain't got nothing to shout God about like I do, and I want to raise my hands and run these aisles like them, and I can't get out of this dumb wheelchair." One Sunday night, Holy Ghost hit the place. Folks were shouting, and Earl Hall lost it. That wasn't unusual for Earl Hall to lose it. Those of you didn't know Brother Hall, they called him Blue Nose because his nose would turn blue and he'd mess his hair up, and if that ever happened, you'd fit in half church. He got crazy that night, and I'm standing there thinking, "My God," about that time he pointed toward the back, and everybody in the church is looking, and Brother Jackson's running across the back of the building, both hands up. He's shouting, he's carrying on. Oh. Man went crazy. And every time he came to church, you got him tickled just the least little bit. He was coming up, bass hands up, shouting. He said, "I'm going to shout whether y'all do or not." I carried him with me on bus ministry. Knocked on the door and we'd say, "We're with the Church of God. We're taking a survey. Do you go to church?" This guy said, "Yeah, I'm a Baptist preacher." He said, "We won't hold that against you. You can come to our place and get saved." Glory. That guy slammed the door and said, "Brother Jackson, you can't talk to people like that." He said, "I shake a dust off my feet. Let's go to the next house." Glory. I mean, that's just the way he was. He didn't know no better. He just wanted to do something. But he was wide open because all of a sudden he had an opportunity to do something he hadn't done all his life. He's shouting and praising God. He's living in glory. Let me tell you something. Up till the day he died, if you went to Northport Church of God and there's somebody preaching, you was going to hear Brother Jackson. If you come through the back door, he was going to find a way to get to you and let you know who he was and what God was doing. And even when he's selling cars, he'd give them a card that told them about Jesus before he'd ever talked to them about a car. And he'd talk to them about the Lord and say, "Well, if you want to buy the car, that's all right, but I'm going to sell you this car, but I'm going to talk to you about Jesus time we talking about this car." Amen. That was just Brother Jackson. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" That guy's at the gate. I mean, God is looking for a staging ground. He's got two hot preachers ready to deliver a message, and ain't nobody wanting to listen. And next thing you know, this guy gets healed, goes running in the temple. Everybody gathers round. Peter looks up and said, "Why are you looking on us? We didn't do this, but the God you turned away, the God you gave over to be killed, that Jesus Christ whom you let be crucified is the one that has performed this miracle in his life." Next thing you know, hundreds are giving their heart to God. Can I tell you, the miracles are going to happen and God's going to move. And when they do, we're going to see people come to the house of God, move into the power of his glory. Could you say amen? The last thing I want to talk to you is the message. Notice what Peter said in the 6th verse. He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise up and walk." Peter's not apologizing. He's bragging. He ain't saying, "I ain't got no money." He said, "I don't have the money to give you, but I got a God that's finna do something for you." Oh, something happened here. Money came by. Something happened here you couldn't get if I gave you the whole of Fort Knox. Amen. It's not just money. Because you see, money don't always change things. I've seen people that have no money get money, and it wasn't long that's back broke because they didn't know how to keep money. Hello? They got the lottery. Everybody said, I wish I could win the lottery. 99% of the people that win the lottery are broke 5 years later because they ain't got a clue how to handle money. That's why they're broke before they got it. Hello? 90% of the people win the lottery have to move from where they live because their neighbors and everybody they know thinks they ought to have some of that money. And they'll turn them off. We'll have nothing else to do with them because they won't give them some of that money. Their families disown them because, you know, you got all that money, you ought to give me some. Hello? Yeah, we got people, oh, I wish I had the lottery. I'd rather know Jesus. I see some of you looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm certifiable. I don't have a problem with it. I'm not hung up on stuff down here. I've done a lot of funerals, and I've yet to see a hearse with a U-Haul behind it headed down the road. Because there ain't nothing you got down here you taking with you. I want to be blessed in this world. But I'm not so hung up on it. I don't understand that the most important thing in my life is to know Him. The most important thing in my life is come in contact with God with my needs. Because when I touch God with my needs, God's going to touch my needs. And when that happens, I'm going to move from the gate into His presence, into His power, into His authority. There are a lot of things in this world, church, that we can look for. And a lot of things we can have. But there comes a time when we need to realize where we are. This man's desire, you know, I've had people tell me, God give you desires of your heart. And the whole time they thinking bank account and Cadillacs and Mercedes and mansions. If your desires are right, God will give them to you. This man's desire was to get into the temple to worship God. And God sent Caiaphas along one day and said, it's time to let him have the desire of his heart. I'd be willing to bet you for the rest of his life you found him, he was down at that temple shouting and leaping and praising, running and having a big time. Hello? Why? Because that was what he wanted more than anything else. I've come to realize in my life that the most important thing to me is to know him. If I know him, I don't have to worry about nothing else. I got scripture for it. Some of you sitting there like, well, preacher, I don't know about this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall then be added unto you. If you're faithful to God, you ain't got to worry about tomorrow. It might not always happen like I want it to. But somehow God will make it all evolve back for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. I'm not going to keep you all day. I could keep you here the rest of the day talking to you about the times God has provided for me, my family. And I can tell you about the times when I got focused on stuff and I lost everything I had. Because I was too busy getting stuff. I want to be sure I had the good stuff. I wanted to go to camp meeting and show off like everybody else so I could talk about God blessing me. And then one day I realized most of those folks ain't really being blessed. They just got a bunch of stuff. Had one guy used to walk by and make sure you'd ask him time so he could look at his Rolex. He'd let you know he had that Rolex. He's showing it to me one day, and I looked down, and I said, you know, it's amazing, but Rolex is Oyster Perpetual. He said, what does that mean? I said, well, the second hand don't jerk like yours does. Some of y'all figure that out in a minute. He said, I guess you know more than I do. This is a Rolex. I said, I guess you bought that at a pawn shop or something, didn't you? He looked at me sort of funny. He says, "And what makes you so sure you know about Rolex?" I said, "I've seen real Rolex. And they just continual movement. It ain't a quartz movement. I've seen them pull up out front and get out the Cadillac and open the door for their wife. They don't open the door no other time unless they're around a bunch of people going to see them when they get out and open that door so they see there's in that Cadillac or that Mercedes. So everybody know they got something. Church, I got a great God that's provided for me, but the whole time I was evangelist, I wanted a Mercedes and all I ever got was a Toyota. But he knew it got good gas mileage and would last. Hello? That's good preaching. But I've never gone without. God's always come through. Oh, I've been broke. But somehow God found a way to bring it around so I wasn't broke no more. And I got to tell you something, folks. There have been things happening in my life that all the money in the world couldn't have made it happen. But God did. You've got some people that are stuck at a gate. You want something on the other side of that gate, but you can't understand how to get to it. But if you just let God take control, let God have his way, I've got a God that can change some things for you. I got a God that can give you a life where you didn't have one before. I got a God that can put things in your life you never thought could be there if you just turn it over to him and let him go. Church, it doesn't matter how long you've been living for God. Every once in a while, we get stuck. I made this statement. Some of y'all looked at me wrong. A couple of you tried to correct me after church, but I'm not going to be corrected because it's true. I've been living for God for 36 years off and on. And see, everybody has a problem with that off and on, but I've been off sometimes. And so have you. You just ain't had enough sense to figure out the switch was turned. There have been some times I flunked some tests and had to get back on my knees and say, "God, I'm sorry." There have been some times that I was running along thinking everything was fine. It wasn't. And there were times when I found myself at a gate wanting to be over there knowing that I didn't have a right to be over there because of things in my life that was going to keep me from getting there that I had to get rid of so I could get where I wanted to be with God. And I finally figured out one day that if I stay close to him, I don't spend as much time stuck. And I don't spend as much time spinning my wheels. Come on, church, this is good stuff. And then I let God take me and do with me what he wants to. And I'm so much more happier than when I'm doing what I want to do. I love y'all. I love what I'm doing. But there are times I wake up at night thinking, what in the world am I doing? Because I had a great life. I got up in the morning. I didn't have nothing to do till 7 o'clock. Hello? I was traveling all over the world. And then all of a sudden God says, "I want you to do that no more. Don't worry, I'm not going back to evangelizing. I told you I'm happy where I am. If I wasn't, I wouldn't be making the commitment to stay here. But I still look back and say, for 35 years, that was my life. And now I'm here. And sometimes I feel like I'm beating my head against the wall. But I realize if I'd let go and quit trying to move the wall, sooner or later, God's going to move it. Sooner or later, it's going to get out of the way if I just keep being faithful. Sooner or later, God's going to do something if I just keep being faithful." And can I tell you, church, I believe there's some folks in this building that you have some walls between you and where you want to be in God, and you're stuck at a very gate. You see it. It's right there in front of you. And if you just let go and let God, God will move that wall and take you where you need to be. Would you stand with me all over the house? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today, God, for your love, for your mercy. God, we love you for who you are, for what you do in our lives. God, I believe you today to touch us with your anointing. Move on us with your power. Father God, I believe you to tear down some walls, move some mountains.
Open some doors. God, as we cry out to you, hear our cry. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.